Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hey. We're going to be starting from Hey Omer Aleph, 10 lines down from the top, with continuing in stories of various Amoraim. Today we'll have a lot from Rabbi Yochanan, who, when they read a certain pasuk, they would cry because they understood the ramifications of that pasuk practically in their lives, in the lives of Klai Yisrael. We're learning today Lila Nishmas a number of people. Yesterday we had learned Lila Nishmas, Mr. Mori Zadura. His Hebrew name was Moshe ben Binyamin. And today we're learning, again, I unfortunately don't have all the Hebrew names, we're learning today Lila Nishmas Sandra Bettinger, Jake Mazursky, and Bernice Sokol, and Harry Beer. All these neshamas that we're learning for should have an aliyah from all of our learning. Now, we begin, again, as I said, 10 lines in the top, Hey Yomid Aleph. Rav Yochanan, when he reached the following pasuk, he would cry when he reached this pasuk. Now, this pasuk is from Eov as well. We had a number of pasukim from Eov, and he says, Vatisiseini vo levalo chinam. This pasuk is a very strange pasuk to understand. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, as if the Satan was able to incite me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go and punish Eov. And when Yochanan read this pasuk, he cried because he said, Eved, Shirabo, Misisin, Ovenisis. If you have a slave, the Malach HaMavis is the slave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no other power at all that has any strength, any koyach, any shlita, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Echad, Bilvado. So this Eved, this Malach HaMavis, is nevertheless able to incite, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master, and successfully to do so. So he says, if such a thing can occur, Takoni Yeshlo, so what possible hope is there for the people that are being incited against? And furthermore, Rav Yochanan ki moti lahaikra, when he reached the following pasuk, another pasuk that we have in Eov, he said, he cried, Ryochan Kimati Lahaikra Bachi, Hein Biktoshov Lo Yamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't believe even in the holy ones, even in the people that are Kedoshim. So what does this tell us? I Biktoshov Lo Yamim, B'man Yamim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, doesn't have Amunah, doesn't have trust, faith that the Kedoshim are going to be successful, then who can be successful? Then what is our possible chance? Eov is one of the most complex characters that we have in all of Tanakh. Eov originally was one of the three advisors to Paro. We had, of course, Yisro, who said, don't go and do the final solution against the Jewish people, and he was banished. Eov was silent, he didn't say anything, and Bilam HaRasha was the other one. He was the one that advocated the final solution to kill Paro, to kill all the Jewish people. So he, of course, received his due punishment. But even if the Kedoshim, if people like Eov, who were holy people, if you can't trust in them, so then never who can we trust? Gemara continues and tells us, Yom Echad have a ka'azu ba'urcha. One time Rav Yochanan was going on the road, and Chazya, he saw Lahal Gavra to a certain man to have a mankid te'eni that was gathering in figs. However, he didn't take the good ripened figs, he took the unripened figs from the tree. Shavik hanoch de matu, he left those alone that were ripened, v'shokol hanot lo motu, when he only took the unripened ones. Rav Yochanan was puzzled at this. Amalei, Rav Yochanan said to this guy, what are you doing? Lav hani ma'alim tvei, why are you taking all the bad ones? You're taking all the unripe ones, you should take the ripe ones. So the man explained to him, no. Amalei, this is how Gavra said, hani l'urcha b'in l'hu, I'm going on a long journey over here. I'm going on a trip. And if I take the ripe ones, they're all going to be spoiled during the trip. But if I take the unripe ones, they'll have time still to mature and ripen during the trip, and I'll have food for the entire way. Hani natron, vani lo natron. These that I picked are the unripe ones. They'll be preserved. They'll last for the whole trip. Whereas the ripe ones, they won't last for the trip. When Yochanan saw this as a message, Omar, he said, Hainu desiv, this is now I understand the pasuk, Hein biktoshev lo yamin. The good ones, it seems that the ones that would be the best, the ones that are ripe, they're the ones you can't trust in for this long trip. In other words, you have to be concerned. Even a great person, somebody who's ripe, somebody who's mature, there's no guarantee that a person will not end up sinning, that they won't be preserved for the entire trip. More questions is, really? And Kosh Baruch Hu has to always take the righteous ones when they're still unripe, when they're not yet fully mature, in order because they could unfortunately go bad later on, so he takes them away early in life. But that's not the way the world works. There once was a Talmud Chacham, David Shivuse, the Rabbi Alexandri, that was living in the neighborhood of Rabbi Alexandri, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him away when he was still very young. He died at a very young age. And Rabbi Alexandri did not say, oh, he must have been a great tzaddik that he was taken away in his youth, so he should be preserved and he shouldn't sin later on in life. A little bit like Enosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Enosh in the world because he was a tzaddik then, and he knew that if he'd stayed in the world, possibly that he wouldn't have stayed well. He wouldn't have the state of tzaddik. So he took him away early. So why didn't Rav Alexandri say this in this situation? Instead, Rav Alexandri said, "Amar Iboy, hi me rabbanon havechai. If this rabbi had tried a little bit harder, if he had wanted to, he could have lived longer. But he unfortunately wasn't a good person, and that's why he didn't live any longer. Now, if you're telling me, ibikdoshav lo yamim vim isa duma." May Hain Bikdoshov Lo Yamin have it. Maybe he was one of those people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away for his own good. He was a tzaddik, and Hashem knew that it would be difficult for him to stay righteous, and therefore, that's why he was taken young. Why don't we say that? Why did Rav Alexandri say, no, this guy wasn't a tzaddik? So what says, because Rav Alexandri knew he wasn't a tzaddik. How this young Talmud Chacham, Mevayed Berabosov Haba. He was chutzpahdik. He was not a good person. So actually says, Rav Alexandri Hayomakibo, Rav Alexandri saw, Shlo Hayom in HaKadoshim. He was not one of those people that was a Kadoshim and therefore was taken away before he would Rachmon Uslan sin. And therefore, that's why this person died, because he didn't deserve to live. He was a bad person. And wasn't an example of this pasuk, Ibikdoshav Lo Yamin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has to take away the tzaddikin, because Lo Yamin, they're not going to necessarily be able to survive as tzaddikin. Tosus points out, we have other similar stories. He brings down the famous Gemara from Shabbos. You may remember, it's not that long ago on the Daf Yomi, and it's Mitzvah Shabbat coming up in another 5 years. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Gimel, taught us a story about a young man who was a big Talmud Chacham, and he died young, and his wife brought his tefillin into the Beis Medrash and said, my husband was a tzaddik, he put on tefillin every day, he learned every day, why did he die so young? So they didn't answer him this pasuk, Hein Bikdoshav Lo Yamin. So obviously, the same thing over there. He wasn't such a big tzaddik. He, more there, explains what he had done wrong. He'd done some certain things wrong, and therefore, this pasuk didn't apply to him. Alternatively, based upon the gears of the Masor Sashas, this wouldn't have been a successful answer for this lady, Nebel, who was in such mourning for her young husband, so therefore, Shiloh, that should be the gears of Nadi Nami, Shloya Tshuva Nitzeches, that this wouldn't have been a successful answer to mollify this Nebuch, this poor young widow. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, another pasuk of Yochanan, Kimati Laikra Bachi, another pasuk that Yochanan was reading, and it made him cry. The pasuk is, V'karavti Aleichem Lamishpot, I will bring you to justice, I'll bring you to a din, V'yisi Eid V'maher V'mechashvim, and I will be aid against all the mechashvim, all the people that practice witchcraft, U'bimamin Ofim, and those people that Nebuch practice adultery. In other words, it's the various sins that people do. U'banishbam Lashaker, and the people that swear falsely. U'ba'oshke Schar Socher, and those people that don't pay the workers in a prompt fashion. They hold back the wages of their workers. So all of these are various sins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will come and testify against them. So Rabbi Yochanan cried, and he said, Ebet Shirabo Mekarvo Laduno. A evet, meaning people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them to the din, umar lo yidu, and he will testify against them. So, takana yeshlo, there's no hope for us. We don't stand a chance, because all of our misdeeds are going to be out there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to justice, and he's going to testify against us. Amar Rav Yochanan Zakeh, Rav Yochanan Zakeh added over here, and he said, oy lanu sheshok aleinu akosuv kalos kechamuros. Rav Yochanan Zakeh drew an additional reason to cry from this pasuk, so to say. He said, look at this list of terrible things. You have adulterers up there with things that aren't as strict, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't seem to differentiate between the very, very serious crimes and those that are less serious. For example, the person is Oshek Schar Sochir, the one who withholds the wages, a terrible thing, but it's not the equivalent of adultery, right? The level of the crimes is still quite different, and yet We're going to be held accountable for all of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to distinguish, seemingly, between a lesser offense and a more serious offense. Okay. Reish Lakish, further directions. Amar Reish Lakish, kolamata dinu shel ger. If somebody is going against the ger, a ger is a person that we're supposed to have great compassion for. This ger, he left everything that he had in his goyish world, and he took the right derech. He recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to have tremendous compassion for the ger, the yosom, the almona. These are people that throughout the Torah it's mentioned that we have to have tremendous compassion for them especially. So Reish Lakish says, if somebody is cheating or doing something wrong against the ger, it's kilu matadino shomala. It's as if you're going and stealing and cheating HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavayochel himself. Shenemar. Because this pasuk, the end of this pasuk, it says va'oshke schar socher. I didn't read the rest of the pasuk before because the Gemara didn't have it. But the rest of the pasuk is va'oshke schar socher amona v'yosom umate ger. V'lo yiru'uni amar shem tzvakos. That's the end of the pasuk. This is a pasuk from Malachi. And Reish Lakish says, from the fact that it has the word umate ger at the end of the pasuk, don't read the word umate ger. That's what the pasuk actually says, but read it umati. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you're going and doing an injustice against me, not just against the ger. I'm Reb Chinina bar Papa. Reb Chinina bar Papa darshens this pasuk even further, and he says, Kol oseh dovar umischarit ba'op, a person does a sin, he does something wrong, but then he regrets it. He has charata. So then, mochel umiyat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does forgive him. Reb Chinina bar Papa darshens this in a positive way, because he says, the pasuk says, at the very end of the pasuk, which I just read now, in Malachi, it says, Shenemar, v'lo yireyuni. If you don't have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, then you'll be punished. Implication being, ho yireyuni, if you do have fear, if you have charata, if you realize you did something wrong, mochel umiyat, you'll be forgiven immediately. Rav Yochanan, when he came to another pasuk, he reached this pasuk, he would cry. This pasuk over here from Koheles tells us, ki es kol maaseihu elokim yavo v'mishpot al kol ne'elom. Everything that a person does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold him accountable for, he'll bring him to justice, even things that are ne'elam, even things that aren't publicized, that aren't known to the world. And Rashi adds over here, not only are they not loaned to the world, they're not loaned to this person as well. Even things that he didn't even know he did wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold him accountable for those things. And that's why Yochanan cried. He said, Evet, Shrabo, Shokelo, Shigogos, Kizdonos, Takoni, Yeshto, an Evet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold him accountable for things he didn't even know he did. He did Shigogos. He's going to hold him accountable like he did the Bemezid on purpose. We don't have a chance. What does it mean? My alcohol nelam. What exactly does this mean? So I gave you Rashi's pshat over here and the understanding that Rabbi Yochanan had, but Rav had a slightly different answer. I'm Rav. Zahore kina bipnei chavero v'nimas ba. Rav said this is referring to the shkogos that he was nelam on. Is you killed the kina. They used to have lice and they were on garments, and people would dispose of them and they would kill them. They would pick them off their garments. So if somebody did this in front of his friend and the friend was disgusted by this, v'nimas ba, so you caused this person a tremendous amount of distress, even though you didn't realize you were doing something so terrible. And therefore, as Rashi says, the nimas, your friend was disgusted. Kitzaz das chavero badover. You made him feel bad. You made him feel, ach, that's disgusting. You're going to be held accountable for that. That's how Rav understands this. Shmuel Amar, a little bit different. Shmuel says, zeh horok bipnei chavero v'nimas. This, if you spit in front of your friend, and you cause the friend to become disgusted. The Mefarshim was saying, Shmuel was adding on to what Rav said. Rav was doing something that there was no alternative. There was the louse over there. There was an insect on the garment, but you didn't have to take it off right then and there. You could have walked away, gone off to the side, and pulled it off at that later point, not right in front of the person. And therefore, you're held accountable. Shmuel goes even one step further. He says, even for something that you can't control, such as spitting, the person has this phlegm, it just comes out of him. So it's that rock, then you could argue, he didn't have a choice, the phlegm just came out of him. And nevertheless, Shmuel says, you're held accountable. Now, at the end of that pasuk that we just read, after it says, Al kol nelam, you're going to be held accountable. The end of that pasuk in Kohelet says, Im tov v'im ra. What does that mean? My im tov v'im ra. So I'm ready to be Rav Yanai. They send the base medesh Rav Yanai. Zeh hanosin stok alonim b'fahesya. This is a person who's going to be held accountable. He thinks he's doing something good, but in fact he did something that wasn't so good. He was bad. And this is a person who gives publicly to the oni stalker in public, because he's embarrassing the Ani. The right and the optimal way to do this is to do this somewhat bitzina, to do this in a way that's not going to embarrass the Ani. Now, obviously, if the Ani is walking around the shul and he puts his hand out and says, please give me tzedakah, so you shouldn't say, oh, I'm not giving it to you because I don't want to embarrass you in public. He's already showing that he wants to get the tzedakah in public. And therefore, that is obviously a good thing to do. But here you're talking about, you walk up to an Ani, he's sitting in the base medrash, nobody knows he's an Ani, and you come up to him and say, here's food for supper for tonight. So in that situation, you're giving tzedakah to the Ani, and you're embarrassing him, so the good, the good that you did by giving him tzedakah, it goes away by the fact that you embarrassed him publicly. And an example is this, Kiyod Rav Yanai, what Rav Yanai once saw, Chazil Ahau Gav, he saw a person, he was giving money to this Ani, it wasn't known that he was an Ani, and he gave it to him publicly, and he embarrassed him. Rav Yanai said to him, "Muta of the lo yahavislei, mehash the yahavislei v'chas v'say." It would have been better that he didn't give him the tzedakah. Here he thinks he's doing a mitzvah, but in fact, what he caused was a greater embarrassment for the Ani, That's what it means, im tov, im ra. You think you're doing something tov, but really you're doing something that's ra. And when you embarrass this ani in public, it was far worse for the ani than his lack of food, which you were trying to help with. So again, the person's not a horrible person. He tried to do something good, but a person has to always understand the ramifications of his actions. And while you think you're doing a mitzvah, so you're really maybe doing something that's terrible and wrong, and you have to really look carefully to make sure that all of your actions are appropriate. Gemara continues and says, "Dei Rav Shila in the base of the Rav Shila Amri." They said an example of this would be Zanos in Stokel Isha Beseser, that if you give money to a woman, let's say you have an amana and she's destitute, her husband was the source of parnasa, and now she doesn't have a source of parnasa. So what do? You tell her come over to your house and you'll give her money, no problem, and you give it to her over here in a way that's baseser. It's not in public, but it's not in a way that people can't see. So everybody sees this woman leaving your house at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you gave her the money. Say, come to me before I go to shul, and I'll give you money. So everybody sees this woman leaving your house at 6 o'clock in the morning. And what's that going to mean? The kamaisi law lidei chashada. People are going to say, yeah, we know why she's getting money. She, Rahmanul Islam, committed an immorality with the guy, and now he's paying her for the services. So Rahmanul Islam, this poor woman, she needed the tzedakah, but it was given to her in a way that actually was im tov, im ra. Turned out to be a negative for her, and therefore the person who did it is held accountable. Rava says similarly, or Rava Amar, says, Meshagir l'ishto basar, if a man sends his wife meat, she'eno mechutok, that wasn't cut up properly, in other words, it wasn't trebid, it wasn't, the sciatic nerve wasn't taken out of it, bi'arvi shabasos. So you send the meat that's not really kashered yet, and you send it to an Erev Shabbos when she's in a rush, and she may assume that it was kashered, she's not going to realize that it wasn't trebid, it wasn't fully right, and she's going to just throw it right into the cholent, she's going to put it right into the oven, and you're going to end up eating trefis over here, and this is im tov, the imra. You thought you were doing a good thing by sending home food for Shabbos, but you sent it home in a way that caused ra. The Gemara says, Rav is the one that said this? He himself used to do this. Well, Rav and Shagir. Rav would send home this non-trebid meat right before Shabbos to his wife, and she would cook it. So Gemara says, how could he do this? He was the one that said, don't do this. So Gemara says, no. His wife was different. Shaini Bas Rav Chista. His wife was the daughter of Chista. Rechista was a god ladar. Rechista was a huge tzaddik. We talked about Rechista the other day, about the Milas Rechista. He lived to 92 years old, and he was very wealthy. So in his house, the daughter of Rechista, who married Rava, she knew how to treba, and she could recognize that the meat wasn't kashered, and there would be no takola. Again, it's not automatically a terrible thing to send meat. It's a terrible thing to send meat to somebody that doesn't know that it's not trebid, but knew he was doing a big tova. He was sending home a nice piece of meat to his wife, and he knew that she would have to trebid. She would kasher it. She would take care of it properly, and therefore there was no takol in this situation. Shiny basru chista, the kim lei begavo, the bikia. He knew for a fact that she would know that the meat wasn't kosher yet the way it was. It had to be kosher. It had to have things done to it. And therefore, there was zero chance of a takola in this situation. So here's not an example for Rava, im tov, the imra, when he sent it home to his wife. But he says, not everybody is married to the daughter of Rav Chista, and you have to be very careful. Another pasuk that Rav Yochanan read that made him cry, Rav Yochanan kimati laikra bachi. Which pasuk is this? So here we have a pasuk now from Chumash, from Dvarim. Rav Yochanan said, v'hayo ki sinsena also rose, Rabos Vitzoros, and Nebuch in the Tochacha, in Devarim, it tells us that a person is going to have so many bad things happen to him. So, Evich Rabo Mamzilo Rose Vitzoros, Takona Yeshlo, a person that, so to say, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to give him trouble, is looking to give him sorrow, so what chance does that person have? There's no way that that person is not going to suffer. Now, what exactly does this mean? My rose, and the whole pasuk said, Rabos Vitzaros. I don't know why they don't write the word Rabos. My rose, Rabos Vitzaros. So I'm a Rab. This is a reference to rose, Shinasis Tzaros Zulazu. These rose, Rabos, these many rose that you're going to have, so they're going to be a tzara. Tzara is a co-wife. A co-wife is referred to, v'chiasoso tzorosa, Rashi says, that Nebuch, they usually don't get along. We can't imagine this. Baruch Hashem, we're only supposed to take one wife. That's always the way the Torah preferred it. Well, a person has a head to take more than one wife. That was never recommended or the preferred way. So when a person has two wives, two wives are going to be fighting for the attention of the husband all the time. They're not going to get along so well. That's why they're called tzaras. They're at odds with each other. So these tzaros, rose, this person's going to have many, many bad things happen to him, and they're going to be tzaros. They're going to be one on top of the other. And we'll see in a moment what exactly this means. But in other words, they're going to be more than just additive. It's not going to be 1 + 1 = 2, but the fact that you have this tzar and this tzar, it's going to add up to 3. It's going to make it so much worse for you. It's going to make things in a much more difficult way than if you just had each tsar alone. So that's what it means. These tsaros rabos over here, ros rabos, they're going to be vitsaros. They're going to be antagonistic to each other. So what's an example? This Omar Rav. Rav says, Rosh Hanasa Sora Zulazu, Kigon, Zibura Viakrova. They're going to be here that you're going to have a bee sting and you're going to have a scorpion bite at the same time. Now why is that compounded as opposed to just additive over here? So Rashi explains, and Tosis as well. This is a famous Gemara which tells us in Avodah Zarah that if a person gets a certain type of a bite, so the right way to go and treat it, for example, if you have a bite of a bee, so the right way to go and take care of that is to put it in cold water. But that's bad for a scorpion bite. So the right way to take care of a scorpion bite is to put it in hot water, so to heat it up. So, and that's bad for a bee sting. So therefore, the guy is stuck over here. He needs to be treating this with hot, which will be bad for the thing that needs to be treated with cold. And he needs to treat it with cold, which will be bad for the thing that normally is treated with hot. So therefore, you're stuck over here. That's the example over here of Ros Rabos that are Vitzoros. They're going to be compounded against you, and not simply, this is a Tzara and this is a Tzara. Shmuel gives a different explanation. Shmuel Amar, Zaman Silomos Lo'oni B'Shaz Dochako. There's a person who helps out an Oni at the time of his distress. Now, there's a couple ways to understand this. Rashi explains over here, this is another example of Im Tov Im Ra. Harogu Lahamsi Tzidkosu Li'oni B'Shaz Dochako V'Lo Kodim B'Shaz Dochak. So you help out the Oni. The Oni is about to lose his business. And now he's in distress and he desperately needs money to pay off his creditors. And they're really, really crunching him now. And you have to pay the full amount. So if the Oni had a little bit of money beforehand, he would have been able to get away with pushing off the loan a little bit further down the road. But now they're coming through and say, you got to pay up everything or we're taking away all your stock. So this guy's helping him now, but he has to pay full price. If he had helped him earlier, it would have been so much better. So this is the example of him told him, why are you helping him now? You should have helped him a month ago. You should have helped him a few weeks ago, and that would have made his life so much better. That's the way Rashi understands it. This is another example of Im Tov V'Ra. Tosa says, we finished that discussion, Im Tov V'Ra. Here we're talking about now of the Ros Rabos that are Vitzoros. So he doesn't like Rashi's Pshat. And Tosa says over here that we're dealing with a person that pays off a debt for a person, but now he's paying it off. The government would have been compassionate to the person. Let's say you owe taxes. So the government will have a loan program or an amnesty program that says, okay, if you come forward, we'll give you a reduction on what you owe. But this person gives them the full amount of money. So now the government says, oh, you have the full amount of money. We'll take the full amount of money. So therefore, this person gave him money. The guy's going to have to pay back the full amount of money that he gave him. And in addition, he's now going to have to pay the government the full amount of money instead of being able to maybe get some sort of a compassion or an amnesty or a reduction in the amount that he owed. So this person, again, compounded it. He's Ros Rabos Vitzoros, that this is a bad thing that he gave him the money right now. It actually compounds it. He now has to pay back this guy, and he has to pay back the government. Both, he'll have to pay back in the full amount. So that's the way Shmuel understands this. Amar Rava, Rava says, this is what the common aphorism that people say, Zuzo la'alala lo shchicha l'sliso shchiach. The way Rashi understands this is as follows, that if a person needs to buy wheat, alala, Rashi says, is wheat, so lehefsid uli'ibud. Again, I think the idea for Rashi here is that you're paying a premium for this food. If you'd had the food when you weren't in such a destitute state, you could have bought in bulk. You could have bought a larger amount and it would have been cheaper and it would have lasted you for a longer period of time. Here, you're forced to purchase the food when it's at its most costly amount. You're buying a single thing. A person buys one item, so he pays full price for it. If you buy five of them, so you get a discount. So this person, he unfortunately doesn't have a lot of money, so therefore he has to pay a premium for everything. That's the way Rashi understands this. Again, Tosu seems to understand that this is an example of Im Tov Im Ra, and he says that's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is still talking now about Ros Rabos Vitzaros. And therefore, Tosu understands this, like I said before, and if a person is owing a certain amount of money to the government, so then, in this situation, he has to pay full price. Because he now has the money, and the government says, well, if you have the money, we're going to take the full price with the interest that you owe us, as opposed to if he hadn't been paid right now, if he hadn't gotten this amount of money, he would have gotten a better deal. Okay. Mari says further, another pasuk that we have from the Tochacha, it says, the Chorua api bo bayomahu. Kosh Baruch will be angry against us. Vazaptim, I will leave you. Vistarti panamihem, and I will conceal myself from you. I won't reveal myself to Chai Yisrael. Amar Rabbi lo bar tavyomi, Amar Rav. Rabbi lo bar tavyomi is the name of Rav. Kosh ein behester ponim, ein omehem. If somebody isn't involved in being in Hester Potim. In other words, if a person seems to always be favored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he's not considered one of us. He's not considered being part of Klai Yisrael. People in Klai Yisrael are constantly living behester Potim. Somebody that seems to always have God shining his countenance upon him, so that person can't be really a member of Klai Yisrael. And the end of the Pasuk, the Tochach continues, and it says, that's the part of the pasuk that we just read. But before that, it says, so how do we dash in that? You'll be, so to say, eaten by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, somebody who's not in that state where he's constantly facing a Kodesh Baruch Hu's harsh judgment also is not considered as if he's part of Klai Yisrael. So somebody who's not behest upon him, somebody who's not, according to this opinion of Rav Bardlo, Bar Tavyumi, I'm a Rav. Such a person isn't really part of Klai Yisrael. And that's why we turn to Hamud Beis, where it continues. It says, Eino Mehem. This person also, Vayu Bechel, is not Eino Mehem. Rashi over here says, he's not considered to be Zer Yisrael. It's clearly something going on over here, because the Pasuk tells us in the Tochacha that Hashem will hide himself from us. And if you're not in this situation, and if the Goyim aren't attacking you and trying to take your money, so then you clearly aren't, so to say, Mizer Yisrael. Again, not to ever be understood that if somebody, Baruch Hashem, seems to be in good position, that he's not a member of Klai Yisrael. What he's just saying is that the destiny of Klai Yisrael is never we're going to be persecuted. The destiny of Klai Yisrael is that the Goyim are going to be oshek us. They're going to be taking our possessions. They're going to be taking our money. That is the life of Klai Yisrael until Mashiach Tzidkenu comes, and then we will have the last laugh. Mar tells us a ma'aseh shaya with Rava. Rava seemed to have the positive sense that the Goyim were not attacking him, and that he was seemingly having good things in this world and not having the oppression that Zeri Yisrael would normally have. So I'm like Rabbanu L'Rava. So the Rabbanu said to Rava, how come your Mar, the master, you, lo behest upon him, Isay, and velo, boyalechel, Isay, you don't seem to be subject to the curses of the Tochacha. Are you not a Zeri Yisrael? How come you aren't subject to this Hester Potim that the rest of us are subject to? You don't seem to be oppressed and have the Goyim stealing your money like everybody else. Vaya Echol doesn't seem to apply to you. So Rabbi said, you have no idea how much it applies to me. Amalu, Rabbi said to these Tamidim, and he said, Mi Yadisu, you have no idea, you don't know. Kama Mishadrona Bitsina Be Shromalka, how much I have to bribe and pay off Shromalka from going and taking the rest of my money. In other words, I'm constantly being oppressed. You just don't know about it. However, since it wasn't well known, Afilu Hachi, Yahavu Be Rabbanan Einayu, the Rabbanan had given a look, so to say, hey, how come Rabbah, you don't have any problem? And it ended up that Rabbah lost a lot of his wealth. Tosa says this is actually a Gemara in Brachos, where we have the famous story of Bar Hedja, who interpreted Rabbah's dreams. He interpreted them in a very negative way because Rabbah didn't pay him to interpret the dreams in a positive way. Rabbah wasn't aware of that. And Bar Hedja interpreted all of his dreams in a terrible way. And he said over there in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Vav that all of your money will be taken away from the king. And that's exactly what happened. During this time when the Talmidim, so to say, had their eyes on Rava, that he wasn't being oppressed, he wasn't having his money taken away. So Shua Malka took away his money. Ugarvuhu, and they stole a lot of his money. Omar, Rava said, Hainu detanya, this is what it means from the Braisa. Omar Rishim Gomlil, Komokum Shinosu Chacham Veneim, Omiso Oni. If the Chacham give you a bad look, so to say, the equivalent of what it says in Koheles, Kishkoga Hayutsemi Yara Shalit. It's as if there was a mistake made by the king, but once the king sends out a decree, that's it. So the Chachamim, when they thought that Rabbah wasn't included in this Voyo Lecho, so it turned out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that he was visibly included in this Voyo Lecho. Then the pasuk continues in the Tochacha, V'onochi Hastir Astir Panai Bayamahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be behest upon him from you. I'm going to not be revealed to you. I'm going to hide myself from you. What does this mean? I'm a Rava. I'm a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rava said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Afa pi shistarti panai mehem b'chalom adabar bo. But it's not a total negative. Even though I'm not publicly revealed to you, I will appear to you in a dream. What exactly does this mean? So Rashi explains over here, and he says, Bayom hahu kodayik Bayom. It means during the daytime. The pasuk says, "Haster astir panai bayom hahu." So it means bayom hahu. the diuk is bayom v'lo b'layla. Therefore, during the day we have hester upon him, but at night shemar lo b'chalom k'dei she'yispal al ha'dover. At night Hakadosh Baruch Hu appears to us and will cause us to dive into him, and we'll understand that he really is with us. That's the way Rav understood this. Rav Yosef Amar, Yado Netuya Aleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still protects us. His hand is outstretched over us. Shenema, Ubitzel Yodi, Kisisicha. Yes, I will be hesed upon him, but I'm still covering you up. I'm still protecting you. Rav Yishuv ben Chananya, Haba Korbei Kesar. Rav Yishuv ben Chananya is famous. The Gemara in Sota tells us when Rav Yishuv ben Chananya died, so we lost our best advocate against all the secular people that were going against us. He was the best person to go and fight on behalf of the Jewish people against the anti-Semitism. So Rav Yishuv ben Chananya, Haba Korbei Kesar. He was often by the Caesar. He was constantly there advocating for the Jewish people. Maaseh Shoya, one time, there was a case that he was in front of the Caesar, and there was this Russia there, a certain Apikoris that was there, and Achve Le Hau Apikorsa. And this Apikoris was signaling to Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. Now, this was appropriate because it wasn't proper to talk in front of the Caesar unless he was spoken to. But they were allowed to do hand signals to each other. That was considered acceptable. So this Apikoris made hand signals to Rav Yochanan, and he was signaling the following thing. He says, Amo tadrinu more la pe mine, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turned away from you. The Jewish people are forsaken. Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya responded to him. Achvilei, he signaled back to him. And he said, Yodo netu yolenu. This pasuk, he says, Utsel yodi kisisicha. Yes, there is this hester upon him. It looks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turned away from us. But in fact, there is not a total turning away. He still protects us. His outstretched hand is protecting us. So that was the conversation, so to say, that they had through the signaling. Now, the Kesar was not happy that they were signaling to each other, because that's a little bit chutzpahdik. So if they're doing it for a purpose and there's something that's a message that's understood, he said, okay, that's acceptable. So the Kesar, the Caesar, checks out. Did they have a real valid conversation over here or not? If they did, then it's okay. So Amalei Kesar L'Rishua Ben Chananya. So the Caesar says to Rishua Ben Chananya, what did he signal to you and what did you respond? So he asked him, my Achviloch, what did he hand signal to you? So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya told him, Amo d'adrinu morei la'peimine. He said that he calls us, Jewish people, somebody that their God has forsaken them. V'ana machvin alei, and I responded back to him, no, yodo netu yoleinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still protecting us, his hand is outstretched over us. So the Kesar, here's what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya says. He goes to ask this Apikoris, no, what did you say, and what did he respond? So amru lei la'umina, so it uses the lashon of Amrulei, that they did, because the king didn't speak to this Apikoris. That's what the Mepharshim say, that he would agree to speak to Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya. He recognized him, but this Apikoris was a nobody, and therefore the king didn't speak to him directly. So he sent his messages to ask him, and they said to him, to this Apikoris, my Achvisle, what did you signal to him? So he said exactly what Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya had saw, Amadadrinu Morei Liapemine, that this is a reference, I was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was turned away from the Jewish people. And they asked him, and what did he signal back to you? My Achviloch, and this Apikoris said, Lo Yadana, I'm sorry, I had no idea. So they were very upset at this. They said, Amru, the king's courtiers said to this Apikoris, a guy that doesn't understand what he's being talked to about. So you should talk in front of the king. In other words, you should go and have these hand signals in front of the king. That's a chutzpah. And Afku, they took him out, and they killed him, because it's chutzpah to have these conversations in front of the king unless there's a purpose to them, unless you understand them. So you basically were chutzpah for no purpose because you didn't understand what he was saying, and therefore off with your head. And they killed him. When Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya passed away, so Klai, as I mentioned, Gemara in Sota says we lost our greatest defender. So that's what the Gemara here says, a similar idea. Ki kol naicha nafshei, the Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya, when Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya Nebuch passed away, Amalei Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said about him, that might have a yalon, me'apikorosin. What are we going to do when the anti-Semites are coming to attack us, when the apikorosin are coming to attack us? So who's going to fight for us? So Amalehem, now Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya had not yet died, so he was about to die, but he was responding to them and putting them at ease, and he says, don't worry, of the eitz amibanim, when the children, in other words, when I'm not going to be able to respond, so their wisdom will also be unavailable. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch always makes it a fair fight. So if HaKadosh Baruch is taking away me, he's also going to lessen their ability to be anti-Semites against us, and they won't be able to fight so eloquently in the court. They won't, since I won't be there to go and fight back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away their ability to go and fight you. So we have a similar idea. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away certain taivos that we had for avodah zarah for the world. So in order to make it a fair battle, you have to take away Navu at the same time, the famous Gemara in Yuma. So it's always a fair battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to harden Paro's heart in order to make it that Paro would have Bechiru Chavshi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make it that one side should be overwhelming on the other side. It's always a fair battle. And therefore, Kivin Shav the Eitzel Mibanim, Nisuch HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away Rav Yishuv ben Chananya. He's also going to take away the abilities of the anti-Semites of the world, of the persecutors of us. Their abilities will also be diminished. That's Teres number one. V'yibayis Eimah, you can learn the same idea from the different pasuk where it says, "Vayomer nisa v'neilecha." Esav said to Yaakov Avinu, "Let us go travel together." Ve'elcha l'negdecha, and I will travel with you. In other words, when you go, I go. In other words, if you have strength, then I will have strength. If you don't have strength, then I won't have strength. We'll be equal together in this battle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up for us to overcome the challenges of the world. Next story, Rav Ila have a solik bidarga devei Rabbi Bar Shila. One time Rav Ila was in the house of Rabbi Bar Shila, and he was going up the stairs to his house. Solik bidarga, darga is stairs. Shame liyanuka dahava kokari, he heard a young child reading a pasuk from Amos that said, kine yotzer harim uvare ruach, the one who creates the mountains, and he created the wind, umagid l'odom masicha, and he tells an individual what exactly he was thinking, what his words are. So, Omar, Rav Ila said, Evet, Shirabu Magid lo Masicho, Takoni Yeshlo. He says in Evet that he doesn't have a choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what he's thinking, exactly what he's saying, so there's no Takoni for such an Evet. You can't get away with anything. What does it mean, my Masicho? What does it mean, what his conversations are? So, Omar Rav, this is even the conversations. Afilu Sicho Yisera Shabain Ishlishto. This is talking about even the private conversations in the privacy of the bedroom between a husband and a wife. That a person will be held accountable for this if that conversation is inappropriate at 120 when a person goes up to Shemayim. They're going to show him this conversation and hold him accountable for even the private conversations the person had in the bedroom between himself and his wife. More questions is really those conversations always have to be the most pristine and the most pure. Ini, is this really so? And now this is a famous Gemara. We have this Gemara in Brachos as well. We have it over here. This is not something that you should ever think that is an appropriate behavior nowadays for a person to do. But in the days of the Amarayim, when you had such great individuals, something like this could be a way that a person learns from his Rebbe. We always know that Shimush of a Rebbe, that observing the Rebbe and taking care of the Rebbe is the right way for a person to really learn how to properly conduct himself. But this would be way, way too far for us nowadays, but was appropriate for a Rav Kahana, who was a Talmud Muvok, Talmud Chaver of Rav. Rav Kahana was an unbelievably great person. We have stories about how he bested Rav Yochanan in Torah learning, and he was a tremendously great Amora. He was a Talmud Chaver of Rav, and at the same time, he did things to learn from Rav that we would consider totally inappropriate. So you have to take this Gemara with that understanding. So what happened? For Rav Kahana, have a gadi to say puria to Rav. Rav Kahana hid himself under the bed of his Rebbe Rav to listen and hear how one should conduct himself in relations with his wife. So he hid under the bed of Rav, and Rav was talking with his wife, and he heard, Rav Kahana heard, they were having a light conversation, and they were joking around, and then afterwards they had relations. So Rav Kahana said from underneath the bed, Omar, he said, Dome Pume de Rav, he was trying to learn from his Rebbe, and he said, after they had the relations, he said, it appears to me that the mouth of the Rebbe, of Rav, is like, Kiman, the Lotoim, Le Tavshil, that one never tasted food. In other words, you seem to be having a very light-hearted conversation over here and having a good time over here in a way that sounds like you never had relations before. So I'm like, Rav says, what in the world are you doing over here? Kana, book, get out of here, Kana. La Baruchara, what you're doing isn't right. You have no business being over here. In any event, Rav Kana had responded and he says, no, Tori, Mitzorachani, Leida. No, this is part of learning Torah, and I have to learn from the Rebbe how to conduct myself. Again, as I said, we can't understand this. This would be totally inappropriate nowadays. Nobody should think that this is the right way for a person to behave. However, the Amoraim were on a different madrega. In any event, what do we see from this story? The point that our Gemara wants to make from this story is that Rav, when he had a lighthearted conversation with his wife, so how can you tell me that this is La'odam Masicha? We're going to magi La'odam Masicha. We're going to tell a person that you're going to be held accountable for this. Rav seemed to have a very lighthearted conversation with his wife. What's wrong with that? So what says Lokasha? Kan de tzorich l'ratzuye, hod de lo tzorich l'ratzuye. If it's necessary to have this lighthearted conversation, so then it's appropriate. But when it's unnecessary and it's not appropriate, and nevertheless you have it, so then it is inappropriate and you're going to be held accountable for it. We dive to the next pasuk. This is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. The pasuk says, "V'im lo sishma'u." If you don't listen to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "B'mistarim tivken nafshi mipnei geva." I will go and cry in these hidden chambers, b'mistarim, and it's because mipnei geva, because you're so arrogant. So what does this mean? Amar Shmuel bar Inya, Ishmei the Rav. Shmuel bar Inya, standing over the name of Rav. There's a place, Makom, Yesh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, a certain place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, which is called U'mistarim Shemo. This is known as Mistarim. And in that area, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kavi yochel cry. Why? My mipnei geva, because of the arrogance of the Jewish people. What does that mean? Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Shmuel bar Yitzchak says in a different way, that it doesn't mean that the Jewish people were just arrogant and therefore we were punished. It meant that the high status of the Jewish people, the geva, the heights of the Jewish people were taken away from them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took our very lofty status and he gave it away and took it away from us and he gave it to the goyim instead. That's the way Rav Shmuel Yitzchak understands it. Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni understood it in a different way. Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni said, this is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed his status from us, that the Malchus Shamayim that would have been upon us was taken away from us, and Nebuch, it was given away to the goyim. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries in his mistarim, in his hidden place. Murray asks, really? Does God cry? Now again, everything is always an anthropomorphism. Everything always, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a goof. He doesn't cry. He doesn't have emotions. God doesn't get angry in the sense that we do. These are all anthropomorphisms to help us in some way understand in our extremely limited capabilities to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So Murray asks, Umi yikah b'chiyah kameh HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have this concept of crying? Vamar HaPapa, HaPapa had said, in atzivus in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no sadness in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, there is no crying. There is no concept of sadness by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the pasuk says, Shenemah, this is a pasuk from Divrei Yamim, Hod v'hadar lefanov, oz v'ched v'abim kamo. That there's only Hod v'hadar, there's only great glory in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and oz v'ched v'abim kamo, there's only strength, and there's only happiness in his place. So there is no crying of this. How can you say that there's crying, there's this room, mistarim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries in? Someone says, Lokasha, Habuate Gaboi, Habuate Buroi. Depends where. You have the inner chambers and you have the outer chambers. Bavate Gaboi, inside. So Rashi says, inside, Ika, there is this crying. That's the mistarim. And in the Bate Buroi, there isn't. Those are the outer areas where there's only joy and happiness that's visible. More questions is, really? Ati v'roi lo? And in the outer chambers, there is no crying? Well, see, the pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, Vayikra ado shem elokim tzvakos, bayom ahu, livchi ulimispeid ulikarcha v'lachgor sak. This pasuk means that Hashem Akim called out on that very day, which was Nebuch, the day of the base of Middash being destroyed, and he called out with crying, Libchi, Lemispeid, with eulogies, Ulakorcha, tearing out his hair, Kaviyacho, Lachgor Sak, and putting on sackcloth. Now, clearly, this pasuk says that there is this public weeping, this public crying. So how can you tell me that it doesn't exist? Shmuel says, no, the Churban Beis HaMikdash is different. Shaina Churban Beis HaMikdash. Da'afilu Malachei Shalom. Bahu. Even the angels cried on that day. The Malachi Shalom cried. Then the pasuk tells us, again, another pasuk from Yeshaya, which says, Shinemar, Hein Erolom Tzuaku Chutza. Malachi Shalom Mar Yivkayun. That the angels cried out because Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed. The word Erolom is a reference to the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash that was like a crouching lion, or others say this is a reference to the Ariel, the fire, that was like a lion that went up in the first Beis HaMikdash, like a dog in the second Beis HaMikdash. So this is what the angels were crying about. So you do see that there is this concept of crying. Furthermore, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us, V'damoa tidma v'seret eini dima. So it mentions three times tears over here. Damoa tidma v'seret eini dima. Ki nishba eder Hashem. Hashem is crying, so to say, because Klal Yisrael has been taken into captivity. We were sent into Golos. Amar Belozer. Belozer said, these three Lashonos of Dima over here, Shalosh Dimos, Halalu, Lama, what's the purpose of the three cries, the three tears over here? What is that exactly referring to? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elozer, he tells us, Achas HaMikdosh Rishon, Achas HaMikdosh Sheini. First crying is for the first base HaMikdosh, second crying is for the second base HaMikdosh. And the third one, V'yachas HaYisrael Shugol Mekomlev. So Klai Yisrael itself, there was Nigla that was sent away into exile from their place in Eretz Yisrael. Alternatively, the third one is V'yikad Yamri, Achas HaBitl Torah. It's a reference to the Bitl Torah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about. These are the three tiers that are being expressed over here. Gemara says, okay, Bishlam Oman D'Yama Yisrael Shugol. Okay, basically there's one, basically there's two, we understand. And we understand about Klai Yisrael being Nigla. So we understand why that would be a tier, why they'd be crying for that. Though it would be dimma. Hainu desiv, ki nishba eder Hashem, because the pasuk says, because Klai Yisrael was sent to the Golus. So that's clear that that's the third crying. Eleman, the Amr Abitl Torah, the one that says, the Ikad Yamre, that the third crying, the third dimma, is because of Bitl Torah. So I don't understand. The pasuk says, Beferish, why does it say that, my ki nishba eder Hashem, that Klai Yisrael was sent to the Golus? What does that have to do with Bitl Torah? So my answer, no, that's exactly it. Kivish Gol Yisrael Mimkoma. What bigger Bitl Torah is than when Klai Yisrael was sent to the exile? Ein Lecha Bitl Torah Golem Zed. There's nothing more going to cause Klai Yisrael not to be able to learn Torah than to be Nebuch in Golus and to be subjugated. Bryce says further, Tana Rabbanon, Shalosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bolcha Aleim Choyom. There are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries for every single day. This is a very famous Bryce over here. There's an unbelievable drasha and an unbelievable musa for everybody. So, number one, Al Ev Shalasuk B'Torah Ve'en Osik. This is about a person who could learn Torah and Nebuch does it. The person says, nah, there's no way I could ever go through Shas, it's too much. The person says, no, there's no way I could ever go through the Dirsha Mishnah Berurah Yomi program. It's just too much. Everything is too much. That type of a person, of course, says, well, if you just did a little bit every day, if you just did Yomi, if you just did a little learning every day, you convey, eat in the Torah, you see, you could go through an amazing amount of Torah. So, of course, Rachel cries to those people. They could be learning Torah. Or the person that says, okay, listen, I'm a good Jew. I go to Minyan three times a day. I go to the Rabbi Shia. I come to shul events. But that person really had the capability of learning 10 hours a day. He could have been a Gadol Dor. He could have been a huge Rosh Hashiva. Instead, he's, quote, just a good Jew. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over that person. He gave him such potential, and he didn't realize his potential. That's number one. Second one is even more interesting. Ali Shiev Shalasuk B'Torah V'Osek, about a person who did not have the ability to learn Torah, and then he did. So, obviously, that's very strange. If a person really doesn't have the ability to learn Torah, and he does, that's wonderful. So the answer is that he doesn't learn Torah properly. So this person really doesn't know how to learn Torah, and he makes a tremendous amount of mistakes in his learning, and he doesn't learn it well, he doesn't learn it right, he doesn't learn it with a Rebbe, and yet he learns Torah, and then he paskins, and he does all sorts of things, and says this is what the Torah wants. So such a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cries about him as well. He really can learn Torah, and yet he does, and he makes it out that he is really a Talmud Chacham, that he's a Yodea Sefer, when he really isn't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about such a person as well. And finally, the third one is Al Parnes HaMizgal HaTzibor, a person who's in charge of the Tzibor. Parnes is like the Askin, the secular head of the Tzibor, and he acts in a very arrogant fashion over the Tzibor. He makes all sorts of decrees and all sorts of rules over the Tzibor that are inappropriate. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset at that person. I gave you so much. I gave you the ability to be a Parnes, a leader of the Tzibor, and yet you act in this inappropriate fashion. I'll just add one more thing from the Marsha on the first two items where it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries for people that could learn Torah and don't, and cries for people that do learn Torah and shouldn't. So the Marsha says that it's basically talking about people that spend their time doing Dvarim B'Telem. They're doing things that are a waste of time. So those people that could learn Torah and they don't, they waste their time, that's obvious. But even the people, they can't learn Torah, but nevertheless, they're wasting their time. They could be making a parnosa and giving lots of tzedakah. They could be doing Tomchei Shabbos deliveries. They could be doing all sorts of other chasadim, but they waste their time. Those people are HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries for as well. Okay, the Gemara continues and tells a story about Rabbi. Rabbi having not get sefer kinos. Rabbi was holding an eicha, a sefer kinos, for Kokori Begavei, and was reading in it the following pasuk. Kimoto Lai Psuka, when he was reaching the second perek in the middle of the first pasuk, the words Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Shamayim throws down Klai Yisrael, so Nofal Min Yodei, the Echa dropped from him, the Sefer Kinos dropped, he dropped it. So he said, this is a Simen Min HaShamayim, he says, Omar, Miigra Ram, from the very high roof, from the ceiling, Lebeira Amikta, it fell all the way down to a deep pit. Some say that he didn't drop it on the floor, it actually dropped it into a hole in the ground, a pit in the ground, but in any event, he personalizes, so to say, and he said, look what has happened to Klai Yisrael, Rachmona Litzlan. Another Maisa with Rabbi, here's with his great Talmud, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia, Avu Shakli, Velaz Lebirucha. One time they were traveling together on the road, and Kimatu, Laumas, when they reached a certain city, Amre, they said to the people that were living in that city, Is there Ika Tzurva Meirabana and Hacha? Is there a young Talmud Chacham over here in this town that we should go and visit? Nezel v'Nakbil. If there is, we will go and visit him. Give Kovod LaTorah. So Amrei, so the people in the town said, yes, Ika Tzurva Meirabana and Hacha. There is a young Talmud Chacham over here. However, Umar Einayimu. He is blind. He's not able to see. So therefore, he wouldn't be able to come and visit the great Rebbe and Reb Chiya. So Amalei Reb Chiya le Rebbe. So Reb Chiya said to his Rebbe, he said, Tiv At, Lo tizalza b'nisiyusach. You stay here. It's not proper that you should go visit him. What I will do is ezalano v'akpilape. I will go to him and give the covenant Torah to him to go pay respects on the local rav, on the local Talmud Chacham. But it's pastish for you, the god lador, the nasi, to go and diminish your position of nasius by going to visit him. He should normally come to visit you. Nebuch, he's a blind guy. So when they originally asked if there is a young Talmud Chacham over here, they said nezal v'nakbil. What they really would have done was they would have sent to the Talmud Chacham, the great Rebbe Seir. Reb Chiya would have sent the message that the great Rebbe Seir come and visit the great Rebbe. In any event, here the Talmud Chacham was blind, so he couldn't come. So Reb Chiya said, no, I'll go and I'll greet him, give Kavod Torah, and you shouldn't degrade yourself by going to visit him. However, Tokfei, Rebbe was strong about this, and Rashi says, Rebbe le Reb Chiya, v'ozul Rebbe b'hadei. So Rebbe said, no, nothing doing, I'm going with you, v'ozul b'hadei. And he went with him to go see this young blind Talmud Chacham. They went to visit Talmud Chacham, and they were saying goodbye to him after the visit. So Amalu, the young Talmud Chacham, said to the great Rebbe in Reb Chiya, Atam, you two came, hikbaltim panim hanirim ve'einon ro'in. You came to go visit somebody who can be seen, but Nebuch cannot see. So therefore, you should be zocha, tisku, both of you should be zocha, lahakbil panim haro'im ve'einon nirim. That you should be able to go see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyocho, you should be zocha to gilu shechina, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who can see you, but you can't see him, should do the same to you. Rebbe was so impressed with this, he turns to Reb Chiya Amalei, says, no, if I hadn't come, I wouldn't have been given such a great bracha. Iku hashta, if I had not come now, minata mehad birchus, I would not have received such a great bracha. So if you had held me back, if I had listened to you and not come, I would have missed out on this great bracha. No, where did they get this great bracha from? Amalei, Rebbe and Reb Chiya said to this young servant of Aaron that was blind, Miman Shmielach, where did you hear such a great bracha that you give this to us? So he answered, Mipirkei de Rebbe Yaakov Shmieli. I heard this from the Shiurim from my Rebbe, Rebbe Yaakov. What was that? The Rebbe Yaakov, Ishkvar Chitaya, his Rebbe was Rebbe Yaakov, who came from a city known as Kvar Chitaya, Havamak Belapei de Rebbe Koyoma. He, when he was younger, would go visit his Rebbe every single day. Kikosh, however, when Rebbe Yaakov got older, Amalei, his Rebbe told him, Lo Nitztar Mar, he called him the master, but he was technically the Talmud. He told Rav Yaakov, Ish Kvar Chitaya, don't come to visit me every day. It's too much of a trouble for you to go. You're older now, and it's not so easy for you to come. Because the Lo Yochel Mar, because you're unable to easily come. So don't come, I understand. But the Talmud, the great Rav Yaakov, Ish Kvar Chitaya, said to his Rebbe, Amalei, no, Mi Zutar, Mai Dersib Burabanan, is it a little thing that which the rabbi said, where did they say this? They said this, as the pasuk in Tehillim, where it says that v'yichi od lanetzach lo yira hashochas ki yira chachomim yamusu, says a person is not going to live forever, and in order not to see the shaol, the shachas, so then a person should realize that all chachomim are going to die. In other words, a person should be aware that the end of everyone is that he's going to die. And he darshan this pasuk as follows: Uma haroa chachamim b'misason yichya. If a person realizes this and he sees the chachamim and realizes that even the chachamim die, so he saw these chachamim, but now they're dead, and he realizes that that's going to be his fate as well. So if he were to see them while they're alive, b'chayein alachas kam v'kama. So much more so is it important to see them while they're alive, and he can really learn from them, and not just to appreciate them in their death. So he said, that's where I got this. I learned this from my rebbe, who troubled himself, even though it was difficult for him to go visit his rebbe. Next story, Ravidi, who was Avua de Rav Yaakov Baridi, Ravidi, who was the father of Rav Yaakov Baridi. He was his son, Rav Yaakov, is known as Rav Yaakov Baridi. In any event, having Ragil, to have a ozel tlosa yache b'urcha, he would travel 3 months to get to the Beis Medrash. That's a simple way to understand this. And then he only had time, v'chad yom b'bei rav, and only one day to spend in the Beis Medrash, because then he had to go 3 months to get home. So he needed to be home for Pesach, he needed to be home for Sukkot to spend time with his family. Shavuos, the Mefarshim say he missed, but he would travel 3 months right after Sukkot was over, learn in Beis Medrash one day, and then travel 3 months back to get back in time for Pesach. Then after Pesach, he would leave again, travel 3 months, go to Beis Medrash one day, and then return and be back in time for Sukkah to spend with his family. And people laughed at him. And the other rabbis said, they laughed at him and said, this is a one-day Talmud. He's a Bar Beirav. He's a student of the Beis Medrash for one day. So Cholish Daite, he felt very bad. He said, they're making fun of me. Koro Navshe, and he said about himself, the pasuk from Eov, that Eov had said, Sechok L'Rieyu Eyev Gomer, that I'm all of a sudden the mockingbird. I'm the one that everybody's making fun of. Look at that guy. He's a silly guy. He spent 6 months traveling to learn one day in the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan, however, said, no. You are absolutely an amazing person. I'm like Rabbi Yochanan. I beg of you, you're going to be upset at the rabbis for making fun of you. They're wrong. You are right. Because not like Rabbi Yochanan, the Beit Medrash, Rabbi Yochanan immediately went out to the Beis Medrash with Darish and he gave the following shir. And he said, the pasuk from Yeshaya tells us, "Va'osi yom yom yidrishun v'daz drocha yechapotzun," that you're going to seek Hakadosh Baruch Hu every single day and to know the ways of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara questions this and says, really, only during the days, v'chibayom darshan or so, v'alaylein darshan or so, only during the days you have to seek out the ways of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. At night, you're on your hefki, you do whatever you want. El olomaloch, to teach us the following. Kol ha'osek b'torah, afilu yom echod b'shona. The purpose of this pasuk is to tell us that if a person can study even one day, obviously if you can study more, you're supposed to. But again, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi's father, Rav Idi, he was only able to go one day and learn the Beis Medrash. He was willing to travel 6 months to learn that one day the Beis Medrash. Unbelievable sacrifice for learning. So we learn from this, Rav Yochanan Darshan to everybody, that learning one day, learning one blot, learning one item is of tremendous paramount importance, and if that's all that a person can do, my love, is as if you're learning all year long. And in fact, the similar thing applies. The same thing applies. Because we learn about Midbar, it says, the spies, they investigated Eretz Yisrael, and they did it for 40 days, and therefore that number is how many years they were punished in the Midbar. Did they sin for 40 years? They just traveled in Eretz Yisrael for 40 days. They should have been only punished for 40 days. Ella, the teacher's this idea. Call over Avera, Avilu Yom Echo Bashana, Ma'alo Vakosu Kilu Over, Kol Hashana Kula. The Rahwanu Litzan, if a person doesn't have Avera, it works the same way. If you do the sin over here of the Meraglim, and each day they were paid back a year. So one day could be the equivalent of a year. So certainly by learning Torah, person can go to one shiur, even 1 hour a day, one little bit a day, that's a tremendous benefit for a person, and that will change his life. And that's why people that do the Daf Yomi, people that do any of the Yomi programs, it's a life-changing event. Yitzhak Hashem, we all be zocha to continue learning together for many, many years to come. This will conclude today's shiur.